Hello, this is Pete Beck III with ThirdPeter.com. Welcome to today's podcast, which is Chapter 78 of my Discipleship Foundations series. This one is entitled Daniel's 70 Weeks. The partial preterist interpretation of Daniel's prophecy regarding the 70 weeks found in Daniel 9:24 through 27 is the most satisfying position for me and clearly reveals profound differences between it and futurist views. It more easily describes what happened historically without having to manipulate things by adding a 2,000-year gap between the 69th and 70 weeks. This lesson will show that Daniel saw the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the coming of the Messiah, his crucifixion, and the subsequent destruction of the temple and Jerusalem. I will also incorporate into this discussion some of Jesus' own prophecies about the end and show how they synchronize with Daniel. God reveals important future events to us through prophecy in a way that almost defies analysis before they take place, but makes sense after they happen. I believe one reason God does this is to help us navigate the present, not predict the future. When prophesied events take place, it confirms that God oversees history and we are exactly where we are supposed to be. When I first became a Christian in the early 70s, end time prophecy was all the rage. Most people adhered to a futurist pre-tribulation rapture kind of dispensationalism. Charts proliferated that showed how Russia would descend upon Israel leading up to Armageddon. There were popular books on the subject, such as The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. I had little understanding of church history at that time or of how earlier believers saw things. Over the years, as I learned more about alternative ways of looking at the end times, I was drawn toward the amillennial view, thinking that it better reflects Jesus' teachings. When I discovered the partial preterist viewpoint, which is well represented in the book Victorious Eschatology by Eberle and Trench, I felt right at home. Rather than changing my thinking, it stated clearly what I already believed. Nevertheless, it is my firm conviction that it is wise to hold our positions regarding the end times rather loosely, understanding that we are all likely to be surprised by how things eventually play out. The partial preterist interpretation of Daniel does not answer every question, but I feel it does capture the essence of what the prophet saw and explains why he was so devastated. He came away understanding that the Jews would reject their Messiah and that Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed. The discovery of Jeremiah's written prophecies regarding 70 years of captivity preceded Daniel's vision. This, and I quote from Jeremiah 25:11, "This whole land will be a desolation and a horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years." That's the New American Standard Bible. Let's begin with the first three verses of Daniel chapter 9. This is 1 through 3. I'll read from the New American Standard Bible. "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." Daniel was deported to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar in 605 BC. Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed in 586 BC. This vision was given in 539 BC, the first year of Cyrus's rule, when the prophet was over 80 years old. In the same year, Cyrus decreed that Israel could return to their land. As a side note, never think you're too old for God to use you. Zerubbabel began work on the temple, and it was completed in 516 BC, 70 years after its destruction, thus fulfilling Jeremiah's prophecy. In 457 BC, Artaxerxes gave Judah autonomy to establish Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Many believe that this event inaugurated the 70 weeks of Daniel, a 490-year period of favor for the Jews. So now I want to read Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince, who is to come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war. Desolations are determined. Then he, speaking, I believe, of the Messiah, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. That was from the New King James Version. A generally accepted convention for interpreting prophecy is making a day into a year. Below, I'll give you a breakdown of how the partial preterist position interprets the 70 weeks. 7 weeks, 49 years, was from 457 BC, the decree of Artaxerxes to rebuild Jerusalem, to 408 BC, during which time the ministries of Ezra rebuilding the temple and Nehemiah rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem took place. 62 weeks. This was 434 years from 408 BC to the baptism of Jesus in AD 27, the anointing of the Holy One. He was filled with the Holy Spirit at that time and anointed to carry out the work of ministry. 1 week, 7 years. This would be AD 27 to AD 31. That would be 3.5 years from the beginning of Christ's ministry to the crucifixion of the Anointed One. The Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself, ending the need for any more animal sacrifices. He, the Messiah, shall confirm a covenant, the new covenant. 31 AD to 34 AD, this was 3.5 years from the crucifixion to the stoning of Stephen, after which the door was officially opened to the Gentiles and a door of opportunity shut for the Jews. 70 AD, the destruction of the temple by Titus and the Roman army, the people of the prince, effectively ending all animal sacrifices. The preterist view does not put a 2,000-year gap between the 69th and 70th week. Therefore, Daniel 9 does not predict what will happen at the very end of time just prior to the second coming. We must get that from other places. Therefore, there will not be a rebuilding of the temple or the reinstitution of animal sacrifices unless it comes from Satan as an attempt to distract from the finished work of Christ. I have included in the online written version a chart representing what I just covered. Gabriel provided Daniel with a precise time for the advent of the Messiah, AD 27, which is when Jesus turned 30 and inaugurated his public ministry by being baptized by John, his cousin. Many people believe that the Magi were descendants of disciples of Daniel, who took his prophecy seriously and readily believed in the heavenly star which guided them to the Messiah. Daniel 9:26 reads, "Then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with the flood. Even to the end, there will be war. Desolations are determined." New American Standard Bible. The above verse speaks of the Messiah being cut off or killed, which would be followed by the people of the prince, the Romans, coming, destroying Jerusalem. Both futurists and partial preterists generally agree on this interpretation. The 70th week is where the preterist interpretation is far simpler and more literal. The futurist insert a 2,000-year gap or so here to account for what they call the church age. The presupposition is that the church is a kind of plan B, which went into effect when the Jews rejected their Messiah. This presupposes that the biological Jewish people are the focus of God's kingdom plans, not the church, to which I vehemently disagree. Preterists believe that there is no gap. Halfway into the seven-year period, Jesus was crucified, fulfilling verse 27. By the way, futurists believe the seven-year period of the 70th week is the Great Tribulation. Daniel 9:27 says this, "And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week, he will put an end to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate even until a complete destruction. One that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate." New American Standard Bible. Instead of saying that the futurist interpretation as the future interpretation does, that the Antichrist accomplishes these things, the context indicates that the Messiah will be the one who will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. Jesus did this by offering himself as the Lamb of God and establishing the new covenant, whereby he finished the transgression to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, according to Daniel 9:24. Hebrews 10:14-18 reads, "For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. And then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin." New American Standard Bible. Verse 27 is extremely difficult even for Bible scholars to properly interpret, so I will forego any further comments on it. 3.5 years later was the end of this seven-year period of God's favor toward the rebellious nation of Israel. Many think that the stoning of Stephen likely marked this end, since he pronounced judgment upon the unbelieving Jews just before he was martyred. And I quote from Acts 7:51-52. "You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just what your fathers did. Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. New American Standard Bible. After Stephen's death, God commissioned both Peter and Paul to take the gospel to the Gentiles more aggressively. About 37 years later, Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple obliterated. One reason it is important for us to consider the partial preterist point of view is because it allows us to think of the end times in an entirely different way from the futurist position. Instead of expecting a restoration of a glorified state of Israel that will rule over the nations, complete with a functioning temple before Jesus returns, we should understand that nothing must happen before his return and that the church is the Israel of God, which includes both Jew and Gentile. He could come at any time, which is precisely what Jesus taught on repeated occasions. For example, Luke 12:40, where Jesus said, "You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." New American Translation. The originator of modern dispensational theology, which elevates Israel in this way, is generally recognized as John Nelson Darby, who co-founded the Plymouth Brethren. Cyrus Scofield popularized the secret rapture and dispensationalism. He was convicted of political corruption and spent some time in jail for forging checks. He also abandoned his first wife and two children. He seems to have had ties with the Masons as well. All of this makes me question the origin of this doctrine. The reinstatement of the Jewish nation in 1948 was orchestrated by the Rothschilds, Illuminati, and supported wholeheartedly by Christians who had adopted the questionable futurist dispensational view that predicts that the nation of Israel would be restored to world prominence in the end times. Could it be that we have improperly elevated the nation state of Israel, thus overlooking the basic wickedness of its people who continue to reject their Messiah King? Galatians 4, verses 22 through 28 says, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son of the free woman through the promise." This is our allegorically speaking, for these two women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem from above, she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of the promise." New American Standard Bible. It does seem that God has something special in store for those physical descendants of Abraham who reside in Jerusalem, in the Jerusalem area, at the time of the second coming of Christ, according to prophecy. And I quote from Zechariah 12, 9 and 10, where it says, "And in that day I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weepings over a firstborn." That's the New American Standard Bible. But this revelation of Christ will mean that those receiving it will be born again. Paul taught that the true Israel of God are those who are born of the Spirit, both Jew and Gentile, who have become one body in Christ. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. New American Standard Bible. If we place undue emphasis upon the nation state of Israel, it may influence us to overlook their part of Satan's schemes. It is noteworthy that Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's companion, was the daughter of a Mossad agent, and that Israel pushed the mRNA jab more than any other nation. It could be that the Israeli nation state is the head of the serpent from which Christ will redeem a remnant at the very end. In no way does this justify anti-Semitism. However, we must not fall into the error of glorifying the natural descendants of Abraham either. We should pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the salvation of God's people. The partial preterist viewpoint frees us up to understand Daniel's 70 weeks in a way that makes sense historically and prepares us for the imminent return of our Lord. It teaches us to carefully consider how some prophecies have already been fulfilled in many cases instead of assuming their fulfillment is all in the future. It does not explain everything, but neither do the other interpretations. God keeps some things hidden so that we will need to trust in Him instead of leaning on our own understanding. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.